out between his feet and he tripped. The cat yowled under his foot, and Dennis collided with the doorframe.
Fuck!
He yelled.
Fuck off!
He kicked Tuna, and she skidded across the floor.
Dennis!
Sam shouted.
Don't!
She ran to the cat to pick her up, but Tuna cowered against the wall.
Get out!
She told Dennis. He was already leaving, the door slamming behind him. Sam tried again to approach Tuna, extending a hand, but the cat was shaken and wanted only to be left alone. So she went back to the bedroom, which still smelled of piss, antiseptic, cigarettes, even with the window open all hours. This time she knew what she'd seen. The cruelty had shocked her, but looking back, she wondered whether she should have been shocked at all. Lindsay returned the next evening, quiet and anxious after their argument, all her usual bravado missing.
So, did you still need a ride, or...
she said while Dennis remained stony silent. Sure, he said. And Sam sensed this was a fight they'd had before, that whatever it was between Lindsay and Dennis and Howard meant there was no need for apologies. It ran deeper than that. When they left, Sam waited 5 minutes and searched the kitchen for the key to the storm shelter. At first, she dismissed the thought as madness, but something about Howard's disappearance kept nagging at her. And seeing the flash of cruelty that had come so naturally from Dennis the night before had made her wonder what else he might be capable of. And Dennis had been spending so much time in the shelter lately, always closing the hatch behind him as he went. Sam remembered how she'd felt when she was down there, so hidden, so alone. She had to check just once to make sure Howard wasn't down there. As stupid as she thought she was being, she had to see it now, just to prove to herself that he had nothing to hide. Before opening the hatch, Sam knocked. Feeling ridiculous, she called out,
"Hello? Is anybody down there?"
When there was no answer, Sam took a torch and went down the stairs, sitting, sliding off each step, and landing on the next with a bump. She shone the torch over every corner of the space and exhaled. Of course, she hadn't expected to find Howard. It had been a stupid idea, even given Dennis's outburst the previous evening. Even so, Sam wondered why Dennis would want to spend so much time down there. It was basically empty now. The cots had been removed, thrown into the dumpsters, and the only thing left was the memory box. She couldn't imagine why he'd moved it in here. Was he hiding it from her? But she'd already seen it. He had showed it to her himself. Out of curiosity, she opened it again and spread the pictures across the floor. She looked for meaning in them, the reason why they were so precious to Dennis, but came up with nothing. Defeated, she picked up the box and started to collect the items to put away. As she lifted it, there was a noise, a feeling of something moving inside. She shook it a little and heard it again, the sound of something shifting. She tipped it upside down, rattled it, tapped it on all sides. Eventually, she threw it face down onto the concrete. The bottom came loose, and more Polaroids scattered out, face down onto the floor around her. Shaking, Sam crouched down and touched the backs of the photographs. The room had filled with something else, and she knew whatever was in the pictures was something she didn't want to see. Carefully, she took the corner of one of the Polaroids and turned it over. The girl in the picture was young, Sam realized, only 16 at most. She was naked from the waist up and lying on her side, eyes closed like she was asleep. There were more, similarly posed in various states of undress. They were curiously unsexy, Sam thought, though she knew with a twist in her gut that these were pictures Dennis had taken with ex-girlfriends. Not so weird for him to have these when he was younger, but did he still look at them now? Sam wondered at the morality of this as she flicked through them. Then one picture made her stop. The girl in the photograph was naked, her arms out and palms up, her feet crossed at the ankles and her hair spread around her head like a mane. Sam couldn't immediately tell what was off about it, but when she looked again, she saw there were no nipples. Instead, just red, lumpy tissue and fat.
She flipped the pile of photos and spread them quickly, her eyes scanning every one for something logical, only to find herself more confused. There was the girl again, but her lips were gone, and she was grinning. There she was again, but her body was gone. Her spinal cord protruded from her neck, and the ends of her mousy hair were stained red. Then a different girl, someone blonde, and her face was swollen, and her arms and legs were tied behind her, making her pelvis stick obscenely into the air. The next girl had plastic cable wrapped around her throat. Her hair was short and dark, her skin was purple, and the cable looked as though it would go right through her. Sam realized that she was holding her breath, and that her fingers were on the girl in the picture's throat, as if she could untie the cables and let her breathe again. She looked up, retching and gasping for air. Why he would have these? How did they look so real? They couldn't be real, could they? Sam seemed to be moving before she'd made any conscious decisions. She fixed the bottom of the tin in place, gathered all the objects and put them back inside, then tucked the Polaroids into the waist of her trousers. They felt cold against her skin, as if they were oozing something toxic and contaminating her. She remembered a corner of the playground in her primary school, where she'd found a magazine with lurid colours and a woman's legs spread open. A boy had kicked it at her and she'd cried, feeling as though touching it somehow made her a part of it, guilty and ashamed. Making sure everything looked as if she'd never been there, she crawled back up the steps of the storm shelter, closed the door, and covered it up. In the kitchen, she hung the keys on the hook. She looked around for somewhere to place the photos, wishing now she'd left them down there. She needed to hide them, quickly, while she decided what to do next. But there was nowhere to put them. Everything in the house had been stripped clean. There was only her suitcase, and she was sure that would be the first place he'd look if he noticed they were missing. Sam stopped and tried to calm herself. She would have to call the police. There was no other way. She grabbed her phone, and twice typed in the wrong passcode with shaking hands. But when it came to it, she found she couldn't dial. Instead, she looked at the pictures of Dennis she'd taken, pictures they'd taken together. It didn't make sense. And she looked at Carrie. It made her chest hurt thinking of her, all the years dedicated to proving Dennis was innocent, fighting for him. What would it do to her if it turned out that Dennis had... Then she heard them, unmistakably the sound of an engine approaching in the quiet, and she panicked, unzipping the sofa cushions, stuffing the photos inside. Quickly she switched on the television and lay down, wiping sweat away from her forehead, and trying to steady herself, trying to work out what she was doing and if she wanted to be doing it.
"They didn't have any avocados,"
Dennis shouted from the door. "Can you believe that?"
"You were quick," Sam said, trying to sound bright. "Well, they didn't have anything. We need to go back tomorrow. They were sold out of fucking everything."
Sam's stomach flipped. If they went tomorrow, she could put the photos back, call a cab, and leave.
"What time are you going?"
she asked.
"Why?" "I don't know," she said. "Maybe I'll go with you."
"Not too late. We need fresh produce. Probably better to go in the morning."
She needed a specific time. If she booked a taxi, she couldn't risk it passing them on the road as it came.
"So, 10? Earlier?"
Dennis considered her for a moment, his glasses shielding his eyes.
"You okay?" Sam nodded.
"Yes."
"You're being weird," Dennis said.
She ignored him, though she knew she should say something. The part of her that wanted to survive this told her what she needed to do. It urged her to get her shit together, just until morning, and then to run like hell. But there was a sadness and disappointment so deep she wanted to die. When she thought of how betrayed she felt, it made her want to tell him everything. She wanted to tell him she hated him. She wanted him to hit her to the ground and press her throat until she was dead. But the thought of those hands on her skin made her feel sick. All that time, she had longed to be held by him, kissed, touched. Had she been pressing herself into the grasp of a monster? How hadn't she known?
"I was just about to call Carrie,"
Sam said with her phone in her hand.
"Tell her I say hey," Dennis said.
Sam paused to see if he would leave and give her privacy, but instead, he sat next to her on the sofa and started looking through his own phone. Outside, Sam could see Lindsay standing on the porch, the tip of her cigarette glowing in the dark. Why hadn't she just called the police when she had the chance? Suddenly it became very real. It was no longer a case she was following from a computer screen, or love letters that arrived on yellow legal pad paper. The story the Polaroids told wasn't one she was supposed to know. Whatever she decided to do, she wanted Carrie to be a part of it. She owed her that much.
Actually, Sam said, it's late. I think I'm just going to text her and say we'll speak tomorrow.
Sure, Dennis murmured. He was distracted, tapping out an email in his slow, determined way. Sam texted, hey, Carrie, we need to talk. Free tomorrow morning? We'll call around 10. Kiss. Almost immediately, Carrie replied,
sure. Everything okay? We need to talk is never good.
Kiss. Sam tried to find the right balance. She didn't want to worry Carrie, but she also needed her to expect her call. Now she realized how much she'd isolated herself since moving to Florida. If something were to happen to her that night, how long would it take for anyone to notice she was gone? All she had left was Carrie.
Just need to talk to someone. We'll explain tomorrow morning. Dennis out then so can talk properly. Speak then. Kiss, kiss.
She sent it and sat back, feeling the weight of Dennis beside her on the sofa and trying not to draw his attention to her. She was scared of the moment he might turn like a cat bored of being stroked. An attack. Lindsay sat with them for some time. The TV was on, but everyone stared down at their phones. Sam felt the photographs beneath her. She saw the girls. She saw the marks on their bodies. Bite marks. That was what they were. On thighs, on breasts, little purple indentations and broken skin. Sam bit into her own hand and looked at the pattern her teeth left behind. Still so far from breaking the skin. Had he held them? Had he kissed them up and down until they ached? Did he bite their skin and make them gasp, and then bite harder until they screamed? Did he break the bones in their necks when he strangled them? Did they close their eyes? Had they loved him like she did? Sam wondered how much Lindsay knew, how much he had always known. But when she stood and stretched and said she was going home, Sam almost didn't want her to leave. It felt safer with her there. Lindsay, who had survived when all these other girls had not. At midnight, Sam switched off the TV and said she was going to sleep. Dennis lay down with her and pressed against her back. She tried to control the urge to pull away. Lying still, she pretended to drift off. After some time, he whispered to her, are you awake? But Sam stayed still, breathing softly, eyes closed. All night, she was rigid with fear, waiting for him to stir. As the sun came up, he was still next to her, letting out a small sigh now and then as he exhaled. Her body ached from a night of tense muscles and clenched teeth. Sam pushed herself up and watched him for a while. His eyelids twitched as he slept, and there was the slightest wheeze from a nostril as he breathed. He seemed almost human.
You didn't sleep, he said, his eyes still closed.
I did a little, she said.
Her body fizzed with fear again, and she felt stupid, caught out.
You didn't sleep,
he said again, opening his eyes.
I can tell.
37. Sam had spent the sleepless night planning her moves for the next morning. It was stupid to have taken the Polaroid, she realized. It was risky, and she needed to play it safe. As soon as Dennis went for his morning run, she would go down into the shelter and put them back. She had to get them back before Dennis found out they were gone. If she told Carrie or the police and they didn't believe her, she could live with that, just so long as she could survive this. But Dennis didn't go for his run.
Listen to this, he said, bending and straightening his leg.
His knee clicked and popped as it moved. All my joints do that, she said. It's nothing. Dennis wasn't convinced. He made breakfast and Sam showered quickly, rushing to get back to the sofa, feeling like a nesting bird guarding her eggs. Every time Dennis left the room, she braced herself for the squeal of the storm shelter door, and each time he returned, she was flooded with a powerful relief. She was safe. For a few more minutes, another half hour, she would be okay. Lindsay arrived just before 10, and Sam watched her and Dennis have some kind of exchange on the front lawn, at the end of which Dennis put his arms around her and squeezed, Lindsay holding on just a beat too long after he let go.
"You ready to go?" he said to Sam.
"I might stay here," she said, rubbing her ankle. "My foot's hurting a lot."
"But you were bugging me yesterday about coming with us," Dennis said.
"Yeah, but I'm in a lot of pain today. I feel like I should just rest it." Dennis looked at her.
"I think you should come with us," he said. "I think it would be good for you to get out of this house."
"I don't think, if it's that bad, maybe I should stay with you, just in case. I mean, if Howard were to come back," Dennis said.
"I'll be fine," she said. "Honestly, I'm just not feeling up to it."
"Then I should stay," he said again, taking a step towards her. Sam looked at the time on her phone. She could call Carrie when they got to the store. And once she was out in public, she reasoned that she didn't have to come back.
"You know what?" Sam said, starting to push herself up off the sofa. "You're right. I'm spending too much time here. I'm just being lazy. I'll come."
Dennis was confused, turning between Lindsay's idling truck and Sam, who stood smiling.
"So, you're coming?"
"Yes," she said, eager to get out, still unsure what she would do when she did so.
"But I need to grab some things first."
He sighed.
"Well, hurry up. We're already later than I wanted to be."
She limped to where her crutch was propped against the wall and looked through the window to see Dennis sitting in the passenger seat, door open, talking to Lindsay. She dropped her crutch and crouched to the floor, crawling back to the sofa. She was shaking violently, acting instinctively. She took the Polaroids from the sofa cushion and crawled to her bag. She put them into the zip pocket that ran across the back, which contained some spare coins and used tissues and empty pill packets. She crawled back and picked up her crutch, trying to calm herself as she walked out of the house. Dennis hopped out of the truck as she approached, helped her into the seat, and held her bag and crutch while she shifted over to Lindsay, who stared straight ahead and kept her hands on the wheel. Sam took her bag and put it between her feet on the floor. They drove in silence, the radio off, glass bottles clinking every time they hit a pothole. Beside her, Dennis looked serene, watching the road through the open window. Sam looked for traces of evil on his face, but she saw only the man she had loved. Somehow it made it worse. She hugged her bag to her chest, and she thought of all the girls in the photographs. Whatever Dennis truly was beneath the veneer, only they knew. When they reached the main street, Dennis asked Lindsay to stop.
"I need to get something in the hardware store."
Sam looked down the road to the police station.
"I'll stay here," Lindsay said.
"So will I," Sam said, leaning back.
"Fuck it."
Lindsay threw the door open.
"Fine, I'll go with Dennis."
"How long will you be?" Sam called through the window.
"I don't know, 10 minutes, tops."
Dennis sounded irritated with her again. Sam watched them disappear into the store and called Carrie, but it went straight to voicemail. Irritated, she tried twice more before giving up. It was past 10, and Carrie should have been expecting her call, so why wasn't her phone switched on? Sam fought the urge to scream. "Fine," she thought. "I'm on my own." Down the street was the police station. She tried to picture herself inside, introducing herself.
"I'm Dennis Danson's wife, and I found these pictures in his memory box, and I need your help."
She tried to picture her life after this. The police interviews, court, the influx of hate she would receive for her part in getting him out. Then she imagined another path, getting back to the house and going into the shelter, returning the photos, making excuses and leaving, or sneaking away while he was out running, and going back to a life she didn't want. It didn't seem like much of a choice. She was consumed with self-pity and disgusted by the lingering flutter in her chest when she thought of Dennis. 3 of the 10 minutes had passed, and she knew she had to act now. It was obvious to her she wouldn't be able to sneak the photographs back, not now. Dennis would likely be in the house all day, working on whatever he was planning inside the hardware store. If she chose not to move, Dennis would discover what she'd taken, and he would act on it. All night, the terrifying consequences of this scenario had played behind her eyelids. She got out of the truck. Ahead of her was the station. As she limped towards it, she started to lose her nerve. What the fuck would she say? How was any of this happening? The world seemed to tilt and whirl, and the heat began to close in on her. She found herself veering into the nearest store, a bell ringing above the door as she pushed it open. In the cooler air, she tried to gather her thoughts. A woman with grey hair and a kind smile said good morning, and Sam nodded, trying to smile back, while the cool air cleared her thoughts.
"Excuse me,"
a man said as he brushed past Sam, making her jump. She turned and faced a shelf, closed her eyes, and tried to calm herself, counting her breaths. "You will get out of this," she told herself. "Just breathe."
"Can I help you?"
the woman at the counter said.
"I'm just looking," Sam said. "Thanks."
The woman furrowed her brow.
"Well, let me know if you need anything," she said.
Sam looked at the shelf ahead of her, but it was empty. She felt herself blush. At the end of the shelf, there was a pen attached to a chain. She looked around the small store, bare walls and plastic chairs lined up along the back. "Where the fuck am I?" she asked herself, disorientated. The sign above the counter read "Post Office." An idea started to form. Before Sam could think better of it, she was approaching the counter.
"Do you have any envelopes?" she asked.
Back at the shelf, she pulled the Polaroids from her bag and slipped them into the envelope as swiftly as she could, as though the girls in the pictures could cry out in the open air. She sealed them in, pushing hard across the top of the envelope to ensure it was stuck closed and the girls couldn't slip free. She started to write the address, but the pen had run dry. She scribbled and pressed, but nothing came out. She looked at the clock on the wall and saw another minute was already gone. If he found her in here, if he saw the envelope... She stopped herself short and limped back to the counter.
"I need a pen," she said.
The woman's smile had long departed, and she visibly tensed at Sam's approach. Sam was aware she was sweating, that she was breathless and rude and confused. But these things no longer mattered. She wanted the girls to go away so she could think clearly, one thing at a time. First, she would escape. Then she would deal with the girls. So she wrote the address as quickly as she could and slipped the envelope to the woman, always looking back at the door behind her, waiting for Dennis to catch her in the act. When it came time to pay, the coins spilled from her purse and scattered on the floor, but she left them at her feet and handed the woman a note. When the woman began to fish in the cash register for change, Sam waved her away.
"It doesn't matter," she said, already at the door. "Keep the change, it's fine."
Back out on the street, blinking in the sun, Sam hoped she'd made the right decision. By taking the Polaroids from Dennis, she had changed her life, and it still hurt, the memory of those first weeks together, of the interviews and gifts and celebrity dinners. She'd never be special or enviable again. In a world where no one was allowed to make mistakes, she had made a big one. She had backed the wrong man. It would ruin Carrie too. They would be figures of hate, the kind of women who lavish praise on a man who killed girls. It was worse than being a killer themselves. At least the time it would take the Polaroids to arrive would give her space to think and speak to Carrie. After a moment's thought, feeling stronger, she decided to walk to the police station. When inside, she would tell them that she and Dennis had had a fight, that she was scared and didn't want to stay with him. She would insinuate he had hit her but not confirm this, merely ask them to help retrieve her passport so she could stay with a friend for a while. Dennis would have to hand the passport over when the police came to the house, and when he realized the pictures were missing, he would have to keep it to himself. By then, Sam told herself, she would be far enough away that he could not hurt her. If he couldn't get the photographs back, then what choice did he have but agree to her terms? Unless, she thought, fingers of dread creeping up her spine. He didn't care. Perhaps he would find and kill her anyway wherever she went. She was nearly at the end of the street when he called her name, and she heard the slap of his shoes on the sidewalk. She stared at the police station, took another step, and stopped, feeling suddenly cold.
"Where are you going?"
Dennis asked, his voice low, almost as if he knew what she was planning.
"I was thirsty. I was going to buy a bottle of water," she said weakly.
"And?"
The store is back there.
Sam looked again at the police station.
Let's go, he said,
and put one hand gently on her back to guide her. When she didn't move, he put his other hand on her elbow, and she moved with him, though she couldn't explain why. As she looked towards the opposite end of the street, she saw there was a man packing his car, and stores were open. If she screamed, then someone would hear her. But that seemed to stop her, as if screaming was only for the dark, a secret thing, when no one else was around.
My ankle, she protested.
The faster we get to the car, faster we get to sit down,
Dennis said quietly. If anyone were to look at them, they would see a woman on a crutch being helped into a car by a handsome man, another woman waiting to drive them home. Dennis pushed her into the truck, both hands on her buttocks. Sam almost fell into the seat, her head hitting Lindsay's leg. Then Dennis pushed her further into the truck, sat down beside her, and slammed the door.
Home, he said to Lindsay.
What about Walmart?
Lindsay asked, a hint of fear in her voice.
Forget it.
They drove back to the house in silence. Sam could hear the clicking of Lindsay's jaw as she chewed her gum, and the rattle of the plastic dash as Dennis bounced his leg up and down. No one asked why she was crying. At the house, he told Lindsay to leave.
Dennis?
Lindsay asked, not looking at Sam.
Maybe I should just hang out front a while.
Go,
he repeated.
Please don't go,
Sam said. But Lindsay turned away. Inside, Dennis pushed her onto the sofa and stood in front of her.
Where were you going just now?
He asked.
What do you mean? I was getting water,
she said again. You were going to the police station, he said.
And you're acting like...
He stopped and looked at her again.
You're afraid of me now. You're acting crazy, Sam said. You are scaring me.
It felt like a relief, to be honest, and for a second it looked as though he had believed her.
Something's changed, he said. The way you look at me. It started last night.
Oh, you're being ridiculous, Sam said. She didn't say, you sound like me. Then his eyes moved to the left of her, the sofa cushion that she'd left crooked on the seat, the zipper that she hadn't fully closed.
Don't move, he said when he noticed her looking.
He picked up the cushion and ran a hand underneath, like he was looking for lost quarters. Then he unzipped the cover and reached inside. When he pulled his hand out, he was holding a single picture, and Sam felt her stomach drop. Dennis looked from the photograph to Sam, and she saw a flash of what the girls must have seen, just for a second, when his face changed and he looked like a stranger. Don't move, he said again, in barely more than a whisper, though it felt to Sam like the low growl of an angry wolf. Dennis went to the kitchen. Sam heard him take a bottle of water from the fridge, and the pause while he drank it. Footsteps. She heard the rusted coil on the back door, and sobbed with force. Out front, she saw Lindsay leaning against the truck, smoking. So she hadn't left. For that, Sam was grateful. Sam noticed Lindsay flicked the ash from the tip of her cigarette too frequently, and that she tapped one foot compulsively. She heard the clang as the storm shelter door fell back. Silence while she waited for what she knew was coming. The bang as the storm shelter door was slammed shut. The thud of feet on the rotten wooden steps. And finally, the crack of the box as it hit the wall behind her head.
Where are they?
Dennis shouted, his face white, furious.
Where the fuck are they?
38. Dennis squatted in front of Sam, resting his elbows on his thighs, trying to look her in the eye. Where the fuck are they? He stood up. This is why you've been acting like this, he shook his head.
You were going to the cops, right?
Sam sniffed.
I don't know.
Where are they, Sam?
I don't have them anymore.
Her voice was high, weak. She felt old.
What do you mean?
I sent them. Posted them. To Carrie. So if anything happens to me,
you're lying.
But she could hear the uncertainty in his tone. If anything happens to me, she'll know it was you.
Everyone will.
He looked at her for a few seconds.
They're still here, he said. Where's your bag?
It's in the truck,
Sam said. Dennis hesitated. Don't move, he said again, before leaving her alone. Through the window, Sam saw him stop and say something to Lindsay before opening the door of her truck and leaning inside. She knew it was her time to move. If she didn't go now, there might not be another chance. She crawled, knees bruising on the edge of the uneven wooden floor, through the kitchen and out of the back door. The debris that littered the area by the storm shelter cut and dug into her as she crawled, her palms stinging and her knees wet from the sodden ground. The gap in the chain-link fence at the back of the yard was a foot off the ground. She had to heave herself onto her leg and crouch down to get through. The welcome density of the trees was only a meter away. Once in the woods, she started to run, to the best of her ability, ignoring the pain in her ankle as she hopped and stumbled and fell again and again. She was running in the direction she hoped led to town. After a minute, she allowed herself a glance back towards the house, which was obscured by the tangle of leaves and branches she fought through. It fueled her, helped her feel invisible, and she moved faster. Behind her, she heard Dennis call, and a new flood of nerves drove her forward. She turned left to avoid a bush, and left again when she came upon a pool of black water, impossible to know how deep. She was no longer sure what direction she was going in, or where she should be going. She heard her name over and over again.
Samantha!
She ran away from the voice, into thick mud and fallen trees that rotted and clouds of midges that she breathed into her nostrils and coughed out. Ahead of her, through the trees, she saw the white of his t-shirt. She realized she'd been running in a circle, and then the ground left her, and she was sliding through mud, still soft from the rain. When she finally stopped sliding, she looked up, realizing she was in a hole, the entrance covered with fallen palm leaves. She pulled her feet to free them from the clutch of the soil, one shoe lost in the mud. Above, she heard him still, walking right by her past the hole. Flies landed on the back of her neck, and she had to keep herself from gagging at the stench of rotting vegetation. She breathed through her mouth, but it didn't help. She reached back to get her shoe, but as she lifted her foot to place it back on, she felt something tangled around her toes. With her free hand, she tried to rip it away. It felt, she thought, so much like hair. She followed it with her fingers and looked behind her. This time, her scream emerged as naturally as a breath. She saw the glasses and the collar of a shirt, the open neck filling with mud, fingers like claws. Then she was crawling back out of the hole, digging her nails into the dirt to stop herself sliding back. It was Howard, bloated and turning a pale yellow. The muscle had rotted beneath the skin, and his face sagged loose from his skull. His cheek started to twitch, as if he were attempting to smirk. Insects, Sam realized with a new wave of sickness. Insects eating him from the inside out. At first, Dennis's grip was welcome as she allowed herself to be hauled back into the world.
What the fuck is it now?
He asked her as Sam pulled her knees up to avoid the creeping sensation that Howard could reach out and drag her back to him.
You killed him!
She cried, unable to meet his face. It was real then, all at once, and it no longer seemed worth running or fighting. Dennis looked towards the hole again. Warily, he moved back the fallen palms.
Howard,
Sam heard him say. And then it was quiet. When he came back out, he was pale, gentler. We need to talk, he said. 39. Dennis carried her the way he had over the threshold. He pushed branches out of the way with his shoulders and tried not to let them hit her face. He even apologized when they did. At the house, Lindsay stood waiting by the back door.
Shit, you okay, Dennis?
I told you I could watch her,
she said as they approached. Get inside, Dennis said, pushing past her. In the living room, he dropped Sam on the sofa.
You just need to be still. You need to listen, he said.
He picked up her handbag and tipped out the contents. He pulled out every pocket and pouch and threw the empty bag back onto the floor.
Okay, Samantha. One more time,
Where are they? He asked.
What's she done? Lindsay asked from the doorway.
And what did you do? He said, turning to face her.
What?
Lindsay said, suddenly afraid.
Howard.
Dennis's voice cracked a little.
You don't understand, Lindsay said. He was saying that he was going to confess everything. I didn't have a choice.
When he's getting like that, you come to me. You tell me,
Dennis said.
I couldn't risk it, she said. I was on my way here, and I saw him on the road, and he was pacing, and he was crazy. I convinced him to talk it out, but he wouldn't stop. I told him if he'd walk with me a while, he'd feel better, but he took out his phone, and he was going to do it this time, I could tell. Besides, you were ignoring my phone calls. You didn't answer my texts.
So you did this to what? Punish me? What did Howard ever do to you?
Dennis, he was going to tell them everything, Lindsay said.
I could have talked him out of it. You didn't need to kill him.
Why do you care so much? He's a total freak. He was...
Fuck you, Linz.
Dennis stepped towards her as though he might hit her, but he changed his mind.
Shit.
Sam realized Howard meant a lot to Dennis, more than anyone, perhaps. She hadn't known he could care so much.
How am I supposed to tell him his kid's dead?
This is all on me,
Lindsay said. She spoke eagerly, the words tumbling out fast.
I thought about it real hard, and I'm going to tell them he came up to me on the road as I was leaving here, and I pulled over thinking he needed a ride. But then he dragged me away into the woods, and he tried to rape me, and I defended myself.
Defended yourself, Dennis said. You nearly cut his head clean off.
I don't know. I'll just say I was scared. That I didn't know what I was doing. I just wanted to make sure he didn't fucking rape me.
We're fucked, Dennis said, looking at no one. Without Howard, I... His dad has no reason to keep quiet anymore. The second he finds out his son's dead, he's going to show them the yard.
Look, we can fix this, Lindsay said.
She glanced at Sam.
Maybe we should talk somewhere else.
Oh, it's way past that. Sam just fell right into your shallow grave. So now what? You kill her?
Well, if I have to, yeah.
Lindsay shrugged, and Sam felt alert of pure terror.
Say we text Harry's from her phone.
She pointed to Sam.
We say, come here. I know what happened to Howard. Be quick. And he comes over, carrying his gun, obviously, because he's ready to kill you by now. And she answers the door, all like, he's out back, but you need to be quick. And when he gets out back, I shoot him. Okay, now, after I shoot him, we take the gun, we shoot her, plant it back on him, and we tell them she killed Howard because he was, like, stalking her. Then Harry's shot her when she confessed, and then I shot him in self-defense.
Dennis looked at her, still pale. Why would Sam let him in and lead him outside if we're just going to shoot her?
Because I'll fucking shoot her anyway if she doesn't.
You don't need to shoot me.
Please,
Sam said quickly.
I won't tell anybody anything. I don't even understand what this is about.
Dennis sighed and rubbed his tired eyes. If Samantha's dead, I just don't think it'll play out. I think we need her.
She's gonna tell the fucking cops as soon as she's alone,
Lindsay said. Sam, did you really send the pictures to Carrie? Dennis asked. Sam nodded.
And what did you say? Did you say they were from you?
Yes, I said. I found them in your things, and they were from me.
Jesus.
What pictures?
Lindsay asked.
Doesn't matter,
Dennis snapped.
Don't tell me you kept those fucking pictures,
Lindsay shrieked. So she had known, Sam thought. Lindsay paced.
But if she's dead, you can't control the story, right?
Lindsay acted like Sam wasn't even there. I don't... No,
I don't think I can, he said.
Fuck! Who's Carrie? The film girl?
Yeah. Why, you planning to shoot her too?
Fuck you!
Dennis came over to Sam and put an arm around her shoulders. She flinched.
Samantha, I just wish you'd talk to me about this. You've made me look really, really bad.
What if I told you they weren't even mine?
That I was just protecting Howard. Then we had a deal.
I believe you,
Sam whispered.
Carrie, we'll believe you.
But it's too late. If she gets those pictures and you've already said they're mine, she trusts you, Samantha.
I can tell her I was wrong.
Sam knew she was bargaining for her life. She took one of his hands in hers.
But if you let Lindsay kill me, I can't help. And I want to help.
I know you do. But you really messed this up. He sighed.
You were different, he said. When you wrote to me, you weren't like the others. You were so sweet. So normal. You were ordinary and I liked it. When you're with me, it's like people think he's ordinary too and you stuck by me when everything was falling apart. So I could forgive it when you weren't so normal anymore, when you rooted through my things every time I left you alone. But now,
I just don't know where to go with this.
Just let me go, Dennis. I'll back up whatever you say. Please.
Dennis sighed again, left the room, and returned with two of his father's guns. Sam thought she might vomit.
Dennis, we can fix this. It doesn't have to go any further.
She tried to sound calm, rational. He handed a shotgun to Lindsay and kept a handgun for himself, tucking it into the back of his jeans. I'm sorry. This isn't how I wanted it to go.
No, please!
Sam cried out.
You have Harris's number?
He asked Lindsay, collecting Sam's phone from her scattered belongings.
It's locked,
he looked at her.
What's the code?
Sam shook her head and began to cry. He sat next to her again, held her wrist, took her thumb and held it over the home button. The screen unlocked.
Get me his number, he said to Lindsay.
I don't have it,
Lindsay said.
What?
I don't know it. I thought you would.
Sam thought of the card from Officer Harris she'd put in her bag. It was face down among her things on the floor. She said nothing, waiting, hoping that the plan would fall apart.
Holy shit.
He threw Sam's phone down onto the sofa.
Dennis, we can get it. We can go to Howard and get his cell phone out of his pocket. He's gonna have his own dad and his contacts, right?
Fine, Dennis said. I'll go.
Watch Sam for me.
He looked at them both one more time before he left.
Please,
Sam said when she felt Dennis was far enough away.
Let's just call the police now while he's gone.
Lindsay laughed.
You don't think he's gonna let you go, do you?
Sam felt rage swell inside her.
He'll kill you.
He won't, Lindsay said. Dennis needs me.
But you killed Howard.
I saw how angry he was. He won't just let it go,
Sam said. But the look in Lindsay's eyes told her that her devotion to Dennis was worth any life, even her own.
And what if he doesn't kill you?
Sam continued, trying to make her see sense.
Even if you come out of this alive, what do you think will happen then? No one will believe your story. It's crazy.
Dennis has the best defense attorneys in the country,
Lindsay said, though Sam didn't think she sounded so sure.
He might decide you're a risk, that you won't stick to the story. Just think.
You think you know him?
Lindsay said, her eyes lighting up in anger.
You think I'm just some dumb bitch who doesn't know what's what, but I know him. I know. When you think you're in control, or you think you understand him, that's when you're really fucked. The only way to understand him is to know you fucking can't and be fine with it. You think you're manipulating us right now? You don't have a fucking clue. And he's always relied on me. Always. So I wouldn't get too cozy, bitch.
You're still afraid of him, Sam said, watching the gun against Lindsay's shaking leg. Lindsay snorted. She took a cigarette from her pack and went to light it.
He won't like it if you smoke in here, Sam said.
Lindsay shrugged, but the flame didn't touch the end of the cigarette before it disappeared.
Get up, Lindsay said, grabbing her weapon. Out.
Sam led, and Lindsay followed, the gun aimed at her back until she was sitting on the porch. Outside, she asked Lindsay for a cigarette, and they smoked together, looking into the trees around the yard. Nothing was the same as it had been.
I'm not pathetic, Lindsay said, blowing the smoke out of the side of her mouth.
What? Sam said.
I'm not pathetic for caring about him.
I didn't think you were, Sam lied.
Yeah, you did. Fuck it.
It's not like I don't know what people think.
I know what he's done, what he could do.
But I also know who he is.
Dennis, like, saved me in high school. Nobody cares about that. In school, these guys. I was at a party, and I got too drunk, I guess. Wasn't rape. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Don't. Anyway, afterwards, everyone had something to say about it. Acting like I'm some slut who gets drunk and likes gangbangs. And Dennis and Howard were the only guys who still talked to me like I was normal. They told the other guys that if they ever touched me again, they'd fucking kill them. It worked, too. They shut up about it. They wouldn't even look at me. But the girls just kept on. So Dennis told me he could shut them up. He had this little smile on his face when he said it. And they started disappearing. Lindsay paused and took another puff of her cigarette. Sam heard the crackle of the paper burning as she inhaled. The first time, I know it was an accident.
What was?
That bitch, Donna. Dennis said they were gonna mess with her. There was this party and Howard gave her those stupid fucking pills. Wasn't supposed to hurt her. We were gonna spike her drink. Take some embarrassing photos with Howard's camera, copy them and pin them around the school.
Sam flinched.
I know, okay? You don't get it. She called me a whore. She told everyone I had AIDS. She never let up. We were kids. Anyway, she left the fucking party. She stormed out, so we followed her in my car. She's stumbling along. Dennis rolls down the back window and he asks her if she needs a ride. Of course she says yes, you know. Fucking Dennis. At first she was so out of it, she didn't even realize me and Howard were in the front. And she's saying, why do you always hang out with these weirdos? And Dennis is like, they're just giving us a ride. She fell asleep on him. We all thought it was hilarious, you know, she doesn't even wake up when I blow the horn. So we go to Howard's house since his dad is working the night shift. Only when we lie her down and Howard is taking the pictures, she starts making this noise. We know she's puking, so we put her on our side, but it's stuck in her throat. The guys aren't doing anything. They're useless. Howard's just hitting her back like a retard. I stick my fingers in her fucking throat. I tried. I really tried, you know? But she stopped breathing. I was freaking out. Howard was freaking out. Dennis was the only one who could think straight. He told me to leave, and they would take care of it, so I did. I didn't know what else to do.
What happened then? Sam asked.
They buried her, Dennis told me later. On the edge of the Harris's yard. We'd all have been fucked, Sam, all of us. It was like Dennis said, they were Howard's pills. It was my idea, and Dennis...
She's buried. In the Harris's yard, Sam said.
Howard was too scared to say no. He thought it would all be his fault.
Then he stopped.
Afterwards, he wanted to confess. I told him, I said, they'd know it was him, that he'd taken the pictures with his camera. They'd think he was a pervert. I told him they put him in the chair for it. Dennis told him too.
What about...
There were others.
Sam thought of the photographs of the girls and their hair and their lips.
One by one, Lindsay said. It just disappeared.
She turned to Sam suddenly. I didn't have anything to do with the others. Nothing. Sam could hear the fear in her voice again.
Howard told me some things over the years.
told me him and Dennis. But I didn't want to believe it. I didn't. Dennis always looked out for me, always. Besides, what could I do? What could I say that wouldn't land me in prison? So I said nothing. It was our secret. We were tied by blood. Dennis protected me. All those years, he kept me out of it. Lindsay rubbed her eyes again. And then it was over. Her face as before. A shield. So, Sam thought, there were things Lindsay didn't want to know. When Lindsay talked about the photograph, she didn't seem to realize the extent of his collection. For Lindsay, it had been about revenge. Sam knew it was something else. Something like desire. And Lindsay didn't want to understand this. It was too late for her. Dennis came back breathless, eyeing them suspiciously as they sat on the porch.
I got it, he said, holding up the phone.
They walked Sam back into the house, one in front, one behind. This time, she unlocked her own phone, knowing it was useless to resist. Sam watched as Lindsay typed.
It's Samantha. I'm at Dennis's house. Howard is here. We need help. Come quick.
40. They sat in silence, the light outside starting to dim. They watched the phone, waiting for a reply, until the screen turned black. They flinched at the sight of themselves in it. Then it rang.
Shit.
Shit, Lindsay said, getting up and reaching for the shotgun.
You're gonna have to answer it, Dennis said, quickly. If it's Harry's, just tell him again to get here. Say it's an emergency.
Sam was given the phone, already swiped to answer. She could hear the bark of Harry's voice, all rough and whiskey-soaked. She could tell him to alert his fellow officers if Lindsay weren't looking at her down the barrel of a shotgun.
Officer Harry's? It's Sam. Danson?
I know it's Sam. What can you tell me about Harrod?
His voice cracked at the edges.
Where is he? Where's my boy?
He's here, Sam said, looking at Dennis, who nodded.
Is he okay? God damn it. What did Dennis do to my boy?
Harry shouted. Nobody's done anything to Howard, Sam said.
But he's been gone for 3 days and he's not answering a cell. I know my boy.
Officer Harry's, he's outside and he's yelling something about bodies. It's like he's crazy or something. She stopped, trying to control her breathing as it quickened.
Maybe I should call the police.
No, Harry said. I'm on my way.
The phone went dead. You did good, Dennis said. Lindsay watched them, not liking what she was seeing.
Lens, you need to move your truck. Harry's will know you're here. Go park at the side of the house so he doesn't get suspicious, Dennis said.
Lindsay hesitated.
Fuck,
she said, hanging the gun over her shoulder.
I'll be right back.
Sam didn't tell him what Lindsay had said on the porch. She didn't need to. He had already figured it out. She'll tell you anything to get you to let your guard down, Dennis said. She thinks you need her, Sam said, finding some strength from deep inside. But I think you need me more. If you help me get out of this, I can get the photographs back. Sam looked at the crease in Dennis's brow, the way his eyes stayed fixed on hers as they peered over his glasses. He didn't look like himself, she thought. His coldness had been replaced with something that she recognized, instantly, as more human. When Lindsay returned, she hid around the right side of the house, obscured by part of the back porch. Sam was to stay in the living room while Dennis waited in the hall to make sure she didn't back out at the last minute, ensuring she brought Harry's inside and through the house. Her head swam with everything she knew and everything she didn't. When the car pulled up outside, Dennis slid into the kitchen, his gun in his hand, finger next to the trigger. Harry's ran to the house, his car door open, engine running. Sam didn't wait for him to knock, but opened the door as he approached, finding him holding his gun, steadying his grip with his other hand. She swallowed. It would only take one small mistake on her part and her life would be over. Suddenly, she very much wanted to live. She would need to stay steady just a while longer. Then what? She shook the question away.
Where is he?
Harry's asked, pushing her aside as he passed.
I hit him, Sam said. I'm sorry. I was scared.
Where is he?
he asked again louder.
He's out back, Sam said.
Go. You first,
Harry said, pointing. Like an executioner, she led him along the designated path, through to the back, to the storm shelter. Harry's looked around him, but stayed at the back door, checking behind him.
Where is he? He repeated, cagey. Don't do anything stupid now, Dennis said as he approached, his hands above his head.
Harry's immediately raised the gun.
Where is he?
Harry shouted, his voice booming in the quiet of the evening.
We had to contain him, Dennis said. He's in the shelter. Open it, Harry said to Sam.
Arms shaking, Sam did as she was told. Harry stayed in the doorway. In that position, Sam knew Lindsay would not be able to make the shot.
Stay there, she willed him. Don't move.
I'm not going to lie to you, Harry's, Dennis said. He got a little roughed up, you know. Took a knock to the head. What have you done to him?
Harry's asked, taking a step forward. Then appeared to change his mind and retreated into the doorway.
Nothing, nothing, he's fine. It's just that he might need a little help.
Harry scanned the area again.
Turn around, he said to Dennis.
Huh?
Turn around. Keep your hands up.
Dennis turned. His gun was sticking out of the back of his jeans.
You,
Harry said to Sam.
You get the gun, now.
Obediently, she took the gun from him.
Hand it over,
Harry said, taking it from her as she approached and fitting it into the empty holster at his side.
Stand against the wall, he said to Dennis. Stand facing the wall.
Dennis laughed and rested his forehead against the house. Harry's held Sam's arm as he approached the storm shelter, glancing back at Dennis now and then.
You first, he said, gesturing to the trapdoor.
Me?
Go now, he said.
Sam looked towards the side of the house where she knew Lindsay was waiting poised, and she looked into Harry's eyes. They were red, jittery. A man whose secrets kept him awake all night, who loved his son, who had no one else. There was hope there, and that was what hurt the most. Sam took a step down into the shelter. She saw Lindsay move into position, her gun pointed at Harris's back. When the shot came, it made Sam falter. Harris's blood hit her cheeks as he keeled over. Frantically, she wiped at her face, her hands coming away with smears of red. He was lying on his front, face turned to the side, blades of grass moving with his breath. The shot had ripped through his chest, a great hole through which blood bubbled from a burst lung. Still he breathed, noisily, painfully. Sam heard Lindsay whooping in the background and wished she would stop and that he would die. Then he was still, and blood pooled sticky beneath him. Sam looked at him, the reality of it hitting her like cold water. He was dead. Dennis crouched next to Harris's body and retrieved both guns. Lindsay was pacing in the background full of adrenaline, the sight of the blood only exciting her further. Dennis looked at Lindsay quickly, seemed to make up his mind about something, and surreptitiously handed Sam one of the guns.
You need to shoot Lindsay, he said. You can do this.
He stepped backwards. Sam held the gun. It was heavier than she had expected. Could she actually shoot it? But there was little time to think as Lindsay turned to face her, taking aim. Sam raised her own gun, which shook terribly in her grip. She steadied it with her free hand, as she had seen Harry's do.
I knew it, Lindsay said, as she realized what Dennis had done. I knew you two would fuck me over.
She began to cry. Sam slipped a fingertip over the trigger, uncertain what to do next. She didn't know whether if she pulled the trigger she'd be met with a click, or if the gun would kick in her hands, or if the bullet would cut air or hit flesh. She and Lindsay looked at each other, each afraid to make the first move, waiting for Dennis to tell them what to do. Finally he spoke.
Lindsay.
The sound of a car horn was coming closer, sounding repeatedly long, short, long bursts. The three looked at each other. Sam wondered if it was Morse code, whether a police van was signalling to Harry's. When the car drew up outside the front of the house, she recognised the buzzing beat of music.
of something triumphantly happy. Dennis gestured to them to wait and went to the side of the house to peer into the garden. When he returned, he crouched